KNUE Mobile.
4NUE, KO4QOG. What's going on, Chad?
Hey, good morning, bud. KO4NUE. You doing all right this morning?
Pretty shaky getting the slow start, but doing okay, I guess. I guess I would be considered doing good. I'm here.
Well, I just we'll jump up on the radio and see who was out there this morning. And Perry's up this morning trying to get a ignition switch in his truck. And maybe get some brakes done on it too. But funeral's over, it's done deal, just, you know, gotta get back to business. So, you know, what you got on the agenda this week?
Getting ready to call a technician that I spoke with a couple weeks ago, about that CNC lathe, getting it up and running. And, so working on a machine, working on a part, and drawing up a part to cut on the CNC. Just that kind of stuff.
That's not the Fidel. What's the lathe? I forget who made it.
It's a Murasaki. Remember, that thing was so heavy we had a hard time getting it in the shop. A Murasaki fanning control.
That's a China product. N0TR.
KO4NUE, recognizing N0TR. So, all right, well, technician coming out, I'm going to take a look at it.
I give him a call, so I'm going to give him a call and see what his schedule looks like. He's got Mondays off. Just have to call and see if he's got his schedule filled up yet. Hey, Tom.
Good morning, Chris. You guys go ahead and continue. Bernice and I are just going mobile here. Headed over towards Spartanburg to Sam's and Costco's, maybe. Have a good day, guys, and I'm here if you want to holler at me for anything. And Gerald Jones.
Good morning, Miss Bernice. How are you?
I'm good. Hope you are.
All right. Well, we're almost ready to destinate, so y'all have a wonderful day, and y'all be safe. And, Chris, I'll give you a holler later. It's KO4NUE 73. I'm clear.
KO4QOG, I'm clear. I'll talk to you later, Tom. Miss Bernice.
Okay, Chris. What's the machine doing? And is it a machining center? Or what's the problem with it, just out of curiosity?
Now, the manual control switch is stuck in MDI mode, and it'll rotate. It's got like 15 different settings on that one switch, and I've got the new switch just needed to be soldered in place. And at that point, we'll figure out from there where the power is going using that ladder logic. That's a real nice option they've got. That ladder logic with fanning control shows you exactly what the machine is doing. So we get the switch replaced and take it from there.
Well, Chris, no matter what, you need a technician there for the put in the new switch. And the ladder logic is great. I liked truth tables too. Those were really a big help for troubleshooting. Usually they were on the back pages of the schematics in the old days, but I don't know if they do that now or not.
Familiar with that one. This technician, he came and set up one of my machines, a Toyota machine, before. So he's actually worked on my machine before I kind of trust him. He's got a good bit of experience.
Yeah, that's excellent. The background and the experience really counts a lot, Chris. How far is he going to come from?
I think he lives in Easley. Best I remember, it's been a long time. We spoke about 2 weeks ago, a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, and he said he has Mondays off. He's self-employed. He sets up machines for a living. So I asked a little bit more experience there when you do it for a living, you know.
Well, I very rarely ever had to have a technician come in, and usually had to be on warranty or the company didn't want to let me do it. They'd have to come up to Kansas from Dallas or someplace like that, or Syracuse. But if it was on warranty, they didn't care because it didn't cost them. shoot. Well, that's good that he's close, Chris. All right, I'll let you go, bud. I know you're busy. It's nice to hear you and Chad this morning. Haven't heard either one of you. 73, Semper Fi. We'll catch you down the line, Chris. KL4-2LG and 0TR clear.
7-3, Tom and Miss Bernice. Hope y'all have a good day. KL4-QLG, I'm clear.
TR and 4DJC.
Good morning, Jerry. Wasn't that, wow, there's a guy walking in the road in a black shirt. You can't hardly see him. We're mobile out here. Probably copied the mail there, heading over to... Oh, wow, I'm running 55 in a 45 going down a hill, and this guy just passed me like I was sitting on a rock. South Carolina drivers, they walk among us. What did you think of that thing? Isn't that odd, going from 3/8 NPT to 22mm? I don't know why in the world they didn't just put a 3/4-inch thread on it.
That is odd. I don't know why they would have done that. I guess the pressure washer made outside the States.
It's Subaru. I thought it'd be a pretty good one. Subaru makes good cars for the most part. And it is. It's run good. We haven't used it a whole lot, Chris. Chris. Jerry. Anyways, yeah, that and the other end, the big end, it was solid. I didn't send you a picture of that, but it was completely solid. You couldn't hardly drive a screwdriver through it. So we went down to Lowe's yesterday evening and picked up that other one. It's shorter, but... I think the problem come from the fact that that one was aluminum and it was screwed into cast aluminum. You wouldn't think there'd be a difference. I don't think it's cast iron. I think it's cast aluminum that pump's made out of. But the reason for the 22mm is that's a common connection for the pressure hoses. Their fittings fit onto that, Jerry.
After that, I wasn't aware of that. I know I had a regular, generator, 5,500-watt generator that I used for a while. I bought it at a Home Depot, and it was a Husky generator, but it wasn't like Husqvarna. It was just a Husky, and it had a Subaru four-stroke engine in it. That Subaru was actually made in, I think it was made in Ohio somewhere. It was made in the States, and it was a good... It's hard to get that thing cranked, David. I've got a Honda now that's just, I can let it sit up for 6 months and it takes about 4 or 5 pulls and it goes. And had to get another one. Boy, I think it was hard to get it cranked. It just took a lot of, took a lot of arm power to get that thing cranked. And plus, it was heavy as a chunk of lead, too. And the one I got now, it's only 2,200 watts. To run a couple of things in the house, but this weighs about 45 pounds, so I can pick it up moving around. Plus, it's quiet and it doesn't use much gas either. But that's odd about that. I went aware of that. I've never used a, my father-in-law always had a pressure washer, and I never used it. I was always afraid I'd tear something up with it.
You can. Yeah, you can do that. You can hurt yourself with them. There's 3,100 pounds of pressure there. But I always keep a can of starter fluid. It's cheap. No, it used to be. I seen it at Lowe's last night. It was like $6.98 for a can, but you can buy a lot cheaper than that at Walmart or used to could. And I always keep a squirt of that around. And when I bought this one, I knew I couldn't crank on it much. I can't even crank a chainsaw anymore, Jerry. I give the chainsaw to the son-in-law. I had a Husqvarna that I bought rebuilt from Northern Tool. And it was a good chainsaw, but I couldn't pull it. And so I keep a little shot of starter fluid around, and I just leave the carburetor on run, give it one little squirt, and then turn it to choke so that it'll get the ether in there around the air cleaner. I usually pull the air cleaner off when I start it. And then when I bought the Subaru at Costco's in 2016, it's electric start and has a charger built right into it. So it's really nice. Man, you just hit that in about 3 seconds, it starts.
The electric starts are good. If I ever able to push them over, I've got a friend of mine's got a kind of push mower. It's got electric start on it. It starts first time, every time. But I don't even have a mower of any kind anymore. But the my little Honda generator, it only holds a gallon. A gallon runs about 8 hours, and that one's just very economical to operate. But normally what I do with it is I just take a quart of that fuel stabilizer, and I just run it in that, just run nothing else but that in it when I put it up, and then I'll put gas in it when I'm ready if I need to fire it up any length of time. But that, you know, that non-ethanol fuel stabilizer keeps it in pretty good shape since it doesn't gel up during the winter and that sort of thing. That's what they told me to do, and I've had pretty good luck with it so far. It may take about 4 or 5 times to start it after 6. I start about every 6 or 8 months. And just run it for about 15 minutes and turn it back off and close everything up and take it back in the garage. It seems to work better. The other one I had, I wouldn't get it. I think the next year I had a generator big enough. I just did like you got get one of those Generac hot gas gas generators.
Or mobile. Yeah, you got a little bit scratchy there, Jerry. Not bad. I had a Briggs & Stratton engine on my last generator before we got the Generac, and it run about 8 hours. You always want to get one that's got a plastic gas tank, not a metal gas tank. That's just something that I always looked at because I've seen too many of those rust out, and they're, you know, like at Harbor Freight and that, they're built just as cheaply as possible, but they're good in an emergency, but if you let them set a long time, they can rust out. I also use that Stabil religiously. I was using strictly no ethanol gas in the lawnmower and the other things we got around there, and that pressure washer. But the last time I just got regular ethanol gas. My gracious, it was, the non-ethanol was ridiculously high. Now, I ain't gonna give that much for it. I guess I should have because you don't use that much. But, during the summer, I used quite a bit. I put 4 gallons in a 5-gallon can so that it seemed like they leak a little bit when they set. But I put that Stabil in there all year long. It's good stuff. N4DJC and 0TR.
I
work
a little bit of time on it. I don't know if that helps or not. But, yeah, I run it. I run it, man. I ran it exclusively in it to begin with, and then I put a gallon of gas, put a quart of stay wheel in it. But like I said, when I run it down close to the thing, I just put another quart of stay wheel in it and let it run through it and turn everything off. But that done, ethanol is such an expense. I know my son-in-law's here, a pontoon boat, you know, they run nine ethanol, and that is like gold, man. That stuff is like gold, and that is so expensive. But he had a problem with it about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and he didn't have it set to schedule to do the yearly maintenance up to November, the 1st of November, I think, and that wouldn't come before then. They were so far backed up on them. On maintenance, so the best part of the year, he said, to sit and not be able to get out in his pontoon, so he's not real happy about that.
Stuff that I got from Lowe's and Home Depot's got it too, is 1 ounce for 2.5 gallons. So I usually put a couple of ounces in a 5 gallon can. But I never fill them up to 5 gallons. I don't know what it is about those gas cans. I finally drilled a little hole in there to relieve the pressure, but I'd put them out in the tin barn, and if it got hot, well, they'd leak. And I don't like to get gas on things. It's hard to get the stink out. And I always use rubber gloves when I handle it, because it gets on your regular gloves, and it'll stink forever, it seems like. But I guess I'm a wuss there, but I just don't like the smell of the gasoline. The good old days when you used to siphon, you know, and suck on that hose and then spit it out. Arrgh. I don't think I could ever do that again. But, I'm looking forward to giving that a try when I get back. I was scared maybe that ruined the pump, Jerry, but I started it without that fitting on there. Man, it squirted for 10 feet out the back. And so I think it'll be all right. But I ain't never going to put that junk in there again. I'll just bring it in, put it in the basement if necessary. I guess it's going to get down near freezing here Tuesday or Wednesday morning, I think.
Sure looks like it. My guy's going to cut my grass this Thursday. And hopefully this next time around, I can wait 3 weeks to cut it instead of two. But that fescue, you know, anytime it rains, it likes to grow. Well, the rest of the stuff is about time for it to start getting dormant, about November, I guess. But I know I got at least a couple more cuts that I got to get done. But I hope that fitting resolves that issue. That's just so odd that they put that aluminum, plated aluminum on that. That's kind of crazy to do that. A lot of the coaxial connectors now are silver plated. Copper, whatever. I'm not sure what they use on some of them now. I was looking at an ethanol adapter from going from a 239 to a BNC. And that thing was $33 for one adapter. Which I thought that's lunacy there, but I said, man, I could just buy another. I don't have about 15 feet of coax here in the house I could buy a whole another coax with a BNC on one end and a 239 or 259 259 on the other end or whatever, and I can buy it cheaper than I buy the Dagum adapter, Tom.
Well, next time you're up here in Greenville, just come on over to the house and I'll give you one. I got more than one of those. Being a maintenance man, you know, for that long, you got to have stuff, you know. You got to have extra stuff. So I even got them that goes to cable TV from RG58, you know, down to cable TV wire, RG6, I guess it is. And different things. I just try to keep some supplies on hand. Yeah, and I'm sure I've had them for a good long time, and I surely didn't give that much for them, Jerry. That's crazy.
Even a regular one is probably cheap for about $10, I think, if they're halfway decent. But without an analyzer, you don't know how much. I don't know right now. I've got it run through a Comet brand adapter. It does from a BNC to 239, I guess, and I've got it. It's about 16 inches long, but it's RG174, and it's running into a times wire, you have 240. Of course, I ain't got that much loss, I guess, with 15 feet of coax, but I'd like to have something a little more durable than RG174, but it is flexible, so I can move the cable around. The little radio's not that big. But the right angle Amphenol connectors, like BNC to BNC, 90 degrees, you can get two of those for like $16. But, you know, you can probably buy a dozen of that on Amazon, but I just never know about the insertion loss on those things. Whether it's put the adapters on or go with a, you know, pure adapters and bigger coax or what.
You said 239 the last time. I might have misunderstood you. I got 259, like RG8 connector, down to BNC, and then that type of adapter. I don't have a chassis mount one, which is a 239, Jerry, if I caught you right.
It's like a 239. That's the 259, you know, is like the one that goes on the antenna. That's the end. I've got, you know what I've got now, is I've got two PL-259s on the coax, and I've got this adapter. I think it'd be like the chassis adapter, you know, 239 BNC to 239. I've got the other one. I've got the 239 to like the female BNC, but I don't have the other one. Of all things, I got about everything else I need, but just didn't have that particular one. But I thought I might give it a try. But I may just do something different. Where I may just get another cable. And I thought about having a right angle adapter, you know, having a right angle BNC put on the cable. You know, just make a custom cable. But I'm not sure how those right angle adapters work. Getting them on and off, how hard they are to get on and off of a radio. That uses a BNC for the antenna. Be nice if they put maybe more than one antenna connection on this one, because it's just HF through, you know, UHF. But that's just the way it is. They don't do it. They make it compact and simple, but they don't have, because it's more meant to be a portable type of deal anyway, I guess. Anyway, That's probably one adapter I don't have. I got the other ones. I just don't have that particular one. And I ain't paying $31 for one time.
This is Angel TR. Well, you'd be a fool if you did, I think. Go to a ham fest, you can pick them up there. A lot cheaper than that, I would think. God, everything's just nuts anymore. But I've used the right angle adapters, Jerry, on things, and I've never had a problem with those. I'm leery of them, just the sheer nature of the beast. But they've always worked for me wherever I use them. Well, Jerry, we're coming into Spartanburg here now, and doing pretty good. I sent you a picture of the granddaughter there, too. That's a different pay grade, but it is pretty horse, and she is a pretty girl, and she enjoys it, so I guess you got to throw your money away somehow. It's kind of like fishing or anything else, or hunting. Fishing's a big hole to throw money into, some guy told me one time. Passing the Lidl's food market here in Spartanburg. So I'll let you go because I'm going to get into traffic, Jerry. Nice talking to you this morning. Have a good day. Maybe I'll catch you on the return run there later today. In 4DJC and 0GR73.
37, good day, Jay. I'll talk to you a little bit later on. What I was always told was boats is the whole party money into. But one of my other friends said is that most of these hobbies you just take away to take a big pile of money and make a smaller pile out of it. Talk to you later. I'm 7-3.